Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. We are thankful for your presence, and we hope and pray that the things that we have to talk about today are in accordance with God's will and that we'll all be encouraged to have been here this morning. We are going to continue our series of lessons that we began at the beginning of the year, and I try to do this every year to have some sort of theme that we come back to and address at least once a month. This year, we are talking about crying out to the Lord. Last year, if you remember, we were talking about, Vision 2020 and how 2020 ended being, we thought, maybe a good opportunity to cry out to the Lord for help. So we're looking at some ways in which we can do that. We've looked at some examples of people who have cried out to the Lord and how that worked out for them. And so we're continuing that series of lessons today by crying out to the Lord by fulfilling our purpose. If you were following along in the 119th Psalm, hopefully you would have noticed a couple of things. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer to that question is by keeping it according to your word or according to your will. He continues, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's why it stays there, so I don't sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Here seems to be a psalmist that wants to fulfill his purpose. He wants to live his life according to God's word. And I want to talk to you for just a while this morning about fulfilling our purpose and thereby crying out to the Lord. I mentioned in the Bible study this morning that we would address this topic today of what is the meaning of life. Well, isn't that a loaded question? Because you can go online, and in fact I did that the other day, and I just typed in what is the meaning of life in the Google search bar, and boy, I came up with a lot of different things. There are many different people, there are many different very intelligent people that have tried to figure out the answer to this question. And a lot of them make a little bit of sense, right? The purpose that we have in life is maybe to be good people or be good to one another, to help other people in some way. The one I found probably the most interesting was the definition of what is the meaning of life really suggested that you define that for you. You decide what your meaning of life is, and that may not be the same as my meaning of life. Well, this is an intelligent person that's saying this. Think about this. He didn't answer the question at all, what is the meaning of life? But thinks that he's given the best answer to the question, what is the meaning of life? That's up to you. You decide what your meaning of life is, and I'll decide what my meaning of life is. And even if they don't coincide, it's okay. I think the Bible clearly defines what the meaning of life is for every person. Or at least it should be. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Or this is the whole duty of man. I wish more people would ask me, do you know what the meaning of life is? Well, yes, I do. And it's not because I've come up with anything. It's because God told us, this is your purpose. And that's really a lot about what that question is. Right? Somebody asks the question, what is the meaning of life? Because they're trying to find purpose in their life. They're trying to make their life mean something. They're trying to fill their life with something. And so God says, it's simple. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is why we are here. We may not like that answer, But that is our purpose. So the question becomes, are we fulfilling our purpose? Well, we all have, yes, the same purpose, but we are also all going to fulfill that purpose differently. And we're going to talk about that later. So today, I want to look at how we can fulfill our purpose for God, and thus doing so, cry out to the Lord. You know, I think of kids oftentimes that maybe desire attention. How do they get that attention? A lot of times they'll get it any way that they can. If parents are good about positive reinforcement and saying, "Oh, little Johnny or little Susie, you made your bed, you did this," then they'll search for ways to do that. But if mom and dad or grandparents or whatever aren't very good at that, they'll look for other ways to get attention. Mom and dad pay attention to me when I do something bad, so I'll do something bad and then at least I'll get attention. It's negative attention, but it is attention nonetheless. I think sometimes we might do that with God as well, where we strive or we seek for attention so much that we cry out to the Lord sometimes through disobedience as opposed to obedience. And I want to suggest that obedience is the best way to cry out to God. So let's talk about fulfilling your purpose. And I put the exclamation point on your. I'm not talking about just people in general. How does one fulfill their purpose? I'm talking about you. I'm talking to myself. How do you fulfill your purpose? I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 14, as Peter is walking on the water and he sees the wind being boisterous, and he's going out to meet Jesus who had been coming to them on the water. It says, "But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Well, I want you to notice what Jesus tells Peter in Luke chapter 22, that Peter's purpose is going to be, or at least part of his purpose. In Luke 22 and verse 32, it says, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." This is right before he denies the Lord three times. He says, "And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." I believe that Peter stepping out of that boat and walking on the water, I believe in doing that, that Peter was kind of fulfilling his purpose that Jesus had for him. I want you to be an encourager for your brothers. They're going to need you. They're going to see you stumble. They're going to see you fall. But I need you to get back up again. And so when he steps out into that boat, or out of that boat, onto the water, I believe he's being an encouragement to his brothers. None of them stepped out of the boat. You know, we give Peter a hard time for seeing the wind and starting to sink and crying out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus has to rebuke him, you know, and he pulls him up and just had to have a little bit of faith. But we also understand that Peter is the only one to step out of that boat. And I believe, at least for that moment, he was an encouragement to his brothers, to the other apostles. But then he got distracted. But this is not about Peter. This is not about Peter fulfilling his purpose. This is about us. How am I fulfilling my purpose? If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, we're told there, "And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here or there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We find in the Ephesian letter that Paul says, listen, yes, we all have the same purpose, right? We are all meant to fear God and keep His commandments. It's for all of us. But how we fulfill that is going to be different for each and every one of us. You know, I talk all the time, and again, Alana and I have gone through all of the same things, and so it's not that I know so much more than anyone else. But one of the most dangerous things about a marriage is expectations. Right? When you go into your marriage, what do you draw on? Well, this is the way my dad did it. This is the way my mom did it. And so I expect that whatever, when I get married, my wife is going to do the exact same thing that mom did. And she's looking at it and saying, well, this is the way my dad was. So when I go into my marriage, I assume that my husband is going to do the exact same thing that my dad did. That's dangerous. Right? Because the other person doesn't know about that expectation. In fact, they have an entirely different expectation because of how they grew up. I think sometimes we do that when dealing with God as well. When dealing with our spiritual abilities. The things that God has given us. I say, well, here's my purpose, so I assume that's your purpose. And because you're not doing the same thing that I'm doing, well, you must be wrong. You must be really bad. Because look at what I'm doing, and you're not doing that. And you may be looking and say, well, because I'm doing this, and all Tony's doing is that, then he must be wrong. We're not doing the same thing. God says, that's okay. You're not going to do the same thing. But what we need to do is say, well, you're doing that and I'm doing this. Let's fit that together. Let's see what impact we can make when we fit those things perfectly together and supply the body with what it needs. We're all going to be different. Now, that doesn't mean we can't try new things or we shouldn't stretch out of our comfort zone a little. But we're all going to be good at different things. I can remember when we were playing football, one of the things that we would do toward the end of the season is, especially if we had a week off, coach would swap everybody, right? So I was a wide receiver, and he'd say, all right, Tony, you're an offensive lineman today. And he would take our quarterback and say, you've been the quarterback, oh, you're going to be the center today. He'd take the center and say, now you're going to be the quarterback today. I'm telling you, we had so much fun that day. But there was an understanding that we would not win games like this. Yes, it's cool and it's fun to be the quarterback for a minute. But our center realized, listen, I'm not the guy. It's fun to play that part for a second. But I know that we're not going to win games doing that. And I think sometimes as Christians we fall into that. Well, I want to do what this person does. Or I don't want to do anything at all. I just want to sit back and reap the benefits of everybody else doing something. And what we're being told today, what Paul is trying to tell the Ephesian brethren, is fulfill your purpose. We just sang a song in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. It's all going to be different, but it also all needs to be for God. We are, yes, called for a purpose. And yes, we all have different abilities. But the thing that we need to decide for ourselves is, have I figured out what my ability is? And am I doing that? And we can help people find their abilities. We can help people, you know, show people their strengths. But it's going to be up to us to decide whether we're going to do it or not. Are you fulfilling your purpose? And you know, I wish I could be more specific and walk around and say, okay, well, I know that here are my abilities. I probably don't even know what all of my abilities are. But I can't walk back to Bob and say, okay, Bob, I'm going to tell you what your abilities are. Only Bob probably knows that. Only Sheila knows that and is going to be able to tell Bob what he needs to do, right? Now, we are only of ourselves going to be able to figure out what it is that we can do, how it is that we can fit together in that body. What part of the body am I? And am I willing to fulfill that role or not? Let's look at the account of Jonah for just a moment. In Jonah chapter 1, in those first two verses, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" So he was given a purpose to fulfill, was he not? Here is your purpose in this moment. Now, you're a prophet, right, in general. Your whole duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. You have been set aside as a prophet. Well, here God specifically says, this is what I need you to do. This is where I need you to go, and this is where I need you to prophesy. So He's been given everything that He needs to fulfill His purpose. What does He do? In verse 3, "But Jonah rose and fled to Tarshish." I will tell you, if you look at a map, he is not headed in the right direction. In fact, he is headed in the exact opposite direction that he is supposed to go. From where Jonah was, it was probably northeast to get where God told him to go. And Jonah headed southwest to try to get as far away as he possibly could. So he went down to Joppa. Again, remember, he's supposed to go up. But he went down to Joppa. He found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. Do we try to hide from God? Now, we may not go to these great lengths in which Jonah is trying to go to actually get on a boat, get on a ship, and try to go away from where God is or where God wants us to be. But how often do we try to hide from God? How often do we try to hide from our purpose in life? And I'm not talking about just the general purpose of fearing God and keeping His commandments, but I'm talking about our specific purposes, the abilities that God has given us. We may say, "I don't like that ability," and we try to shy away and we try to hide from it. I had a friend, and I worked with him, and we did concrete work for a while, and we laid block and brick, and we enjoyed that part of it. But pouring concrete, being on your hands and knees and finishing concrete, it is really difficult work. And so every time he would do a job for someone, he would say, "Listen, I can do this, but don't tell anybody that I can do it. Don't tell anybody that I helped you with this, because I don't like to do it. I don't want to do concrete. I want to lay brick, and I want to where I can stand up at least. They're heavy, but at least I'm on my feet. I'm not on my knees. I'm not on concrete. I'm not on those, hard boards, and I'm not finishing concrete on my hands and knees." So he would basically say, "Keep this talent a secret, because I don't like to do it." I wonder how often. I hope nobody just said, "Oh, Tony does concrete work?" It's been a long time, not anymore. How often do we do that with God, though? We have an ability, we just don't want to use it. We don't like it. We don't enjoy it. And so we try to hide from it, much in the same way that Jonah tried to hide from God. Because he did not like what God gave him to do. He does not like the way in which God tells him to fulfill his purpose. So he hides. And then if you go into verse 5 of Jonah chapter 1, notice this. "Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, but they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep." This is an interesting phrase. The phrase sound asleep is actually radon, the Hebrew word used twice. So basically what is said of Jonah is he went into the bottom of the ship and he was asleep. My brother-in-law always gave the example when he talked about this of high school girls. And one high school girl comes up and says, "Hey, did you know Joey likes you? Do you like him?" And the girl might respond with, "Well, I like him, but I don't like him like him." Do we know what they mean by that? I think we do. He's a friend, but I don't like him in that way. It doesn't go any stronger than that. It doesn't go any further than that. Listen, the word radon means sound asleep. It means a sound sleep. He's not just napping. He's out, right? He's in his REM cycle. He is asleep. All the while running from God. And he was able, during a storm, when everybody else is running around trying to save themselves, he was able to go to the bottom of this ship and fall asleep. It seems that nothing at this moment is on his mind. I don't know about you, but if I've got a lot on my mind, it's hard to sleep sometimes. It keeps you up. It keeps you awake. You think about it constantly. Jonah's okay. Jonah's out. Jonah's having a nice nap, all while being disobedient to God. Does that sound familiar? Do we know that there have been times in our lives that we have not been faithful to God, but yet have been able to go down and lay our head down at night and not even think another thing about it? I hope not. I hope that we can't sleep, but he seems to be okay. He thinks he made the right decision because of how wicked the city of Nineveh was. He thinks he made the right decision, even though he was disobedient to God. Jonah here, as that child that we mentioned earlier, is crying out to God through disobedience, not through obedience. And I promise you, when it comes to God, this will never work. Now, I worked in a grocery store for many years, and I saw this type of negative interaction between parents and children work, where the child is like, "Please, please, please, please," and then starts to throw a fit. And I've seen kids in the middle of the aisle, you know, down on the floor, hands and legs just flying all over the place. And all of a sudden, mom or dad comes over to them with the item that they had been asking for. "And if I give you this, will you be quiet?" And it works for a minute. Right? Then they get that, and if that is consumed, or if they get bored with it in that moment, now they want something else. And the cycle starts all over. I'm telling you, Jonah is that kid in the middle of the aisle in the store who's waving his arms and his legs, and he's pouting. It's not going to work with God. It didn't work with my mom either. And I probably only did something along those lines once. This is not going to work. He's going to go to Nineveh. God is not going to say, "Oh, I didn't realize how strongly you felt about this. It's okay." The best way to get God's attention is to cry out through obedience to Him. So how do I fulfill my purpose? How do I get to that point? I think the first thing is that we need to understand God's will and purpose for you. Now we know, we've talked about that everybody has one common goal. That's to fear God and keep His commandments. But even more than that, do we understand and fulfill God's purpose for us individually? Do we know what it is that God has given us as far as talents are concerned? And are we using those talents in service to Him? Again, in Psalm, the 119th Psalm, in verse 9, we read, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15, we're told, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Notice, accurately handling the word of truth. The word of God is very dangerous in the hands of someone who does not accurately handle it. We need to know how to handle it. God has given us the ability. We know that we can keep our way pure by keeping it according to God's word. We know that we can prove ourselves to God as workmen if we accurately handle the word of truth. What I'm trying to tell you is that He's not trying to trick us, as we mentioned this morning. God is not trying to hide anything from us. He wants His message to us to be very simple, so that we can understand and so that we can apply to our own lives. Do we understand what God's purpose is for us? Have we figured out how to use our abilities, what God has provided us with? Have we figured out how to use that in service to Him? Once we understand God's purpose, once we understand God's will for us, then we need to trust God's purpose for us. See, Jonah understood, right? He knew what God wanted him to do. He just didn't like it. So he understood it, but he didn't trust it. Why? Because he knew how wicked Nineveh was. And he knew that he did not want them to survive much longer. And so he did not want to take God's message to them. And once that message did go, for about 100 years, they were pretty faithful. And then another message comes and they were destroyed. But let's not try to outsmart God. Let's trust His purpose for us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, notice what it says about God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God can do so much with your life if you let Him. I know I talk about sports all the time, but if you ever watch a game, you may hear an announcer or somebody say, this person, this particular athlete, makes everybody else on his team better. You ever hear somebody say that? That person makes everybody else better. And so, you know, they can highlight, this person's a good shooter, right? So this person who makes everybody better gets them open shots. So they have a better chance of making it and using their talent and using their ability. This person may work well underneath the basket. Well, he gets it to them in a position where they can have these easy opportunities to score. He makes everybody else better. They were trying to do that by themselves, it wouldn't have been very good. I played with someone like that. I was the shooter. And I wasn't always the fastest, didn't have the best ball handling, but I'm telling you, I played with a guy that got me open shots. And I was better for it. I did better because of it. You see what God does for us? He can do more with your life than you can do by yourself, if we just let Him have control of it. But that's the problem. We want to keep that for ourselves. And certainly it may be difficult to trust God. Think about Peter walking on the water. Well, we know from science class that you can't walk on water. But Peter stepped out of the boat anyway. It wasn't easy. And eventually he did stumble. Or sending Jonah to a place that he knew he didn't want to go. That was difficult for him. Teach this wicked nation. And so he tried to hide. Do we trust God's purpose for us? And then if we do, we need to act in faith. You know, it doesn't do much good to know and to believe that something will work. It doesn't do much good to know and believe that God can accomplish something if we're not willing to take that final step and act on it. To really, truly fulfill our purpose and do what God has asked us to do. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see what Paul went through. He tells the Corinthian brethren, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor, in hardships, many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Artis, the king, was guarded at the city of the Damascenes in order to seize me. And I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and so escaped his hands. You know, at some point, I have to imagine that Paul, when God said, I need you to go, was probably like, you see that list? Every time he went somewhere, something bad happened to him. But what did he continue to do? He understood what God's word was, and he trusted in God's purpose for him. He knew that God's purpose was greater for him than that moment. Whatever he was going to go through, the shipwrecks, the beatings, having to escape the city, being let down a wall, he knew that his purpose was greater than that. And so he was able to fulfill it. He was able to act in faith in every circumstance. It's almost like Paul is telling the Corinthians, listen, don't talk to me about Christianity being hard. I know that it's hard. But Paul wasn't trying to say, listen, it's all about me. Whatever God wants me to do, whatever God needs me to do, that is exactly what I will do. You know, we can try to cry out to God in many different ways. We can be like that child in the grocery store in the middle aisle, throwing our hands around, screaming at the top of our lungs, trying to get that, type of negative attention. Or we can be that person who trusts. Who trusts that our parents know our needs, know our wants, and who will on occasion bless us with those things. Those were the best. Right? When you're walking through the store and you're going around with mom and you're just walking, you're just being with mom. You don't say anything, you have conversation, and all of a sudden you go to the checkout and mom, which one do you want? Oh, that's the best. You don't have to scream for it, you don't have to cry for it. But she's going to bless you with it. Now, does that happen every time? No, probably not. It didn't with me. But occasionally it did. And I appreciated those times. I want you to understand, it'll be worth it. Don't cry out to God in the way that Jonah tried to cry out to God through disobedience. Cry out in obedience. It is the most effective way to cry out to God. Listen, when Peter was focused, he was walking on the water. He was walking on water. It was when he got distracted that he began to sink. So the question is, what will we do today? How will we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ today? We have time and opportunity to make our lives right with Him. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus Himself says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Do you believe? That's what we talked about, right? It doesn't do a whole lot of good to know the purpose that God has for you, to understand it, to accept it, to believe it, but then not to follow through with it. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we would encourage you to become one today by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But understand that that's only the beginning of your life as a child of God. That is not the end. Many people think it's the end. Well, I was baptized and so now everything's okay and everything's good. No, now everything starts. Paul's life was pretty easy until he became a Christian. And then it got hard. It begins there. It doesn't end. But it'll be worth it. If you're here and you're a child of God who has fallen away, we have time and opportunity to come back to God today. To let it be known that we have error in our lives and that we need the prayers of the saints here. We need the forgiveness of God. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. If you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand, while we sing.